Say shalom to the congregation as we are still here celebrating the feast. Sabbath is a feast of sorts, but it is not the same as what we previously had. Today, my message is sins plague us. As we look at the world around us, we can see many things, and we try not to bring those things into the congregation, but we are people. We are saints seeking that higher level, but we're still people, and we're affected by different things. Most times I don't allow outside influences, opinions of brethren to influence how I'm going and what I'm going to speak about. But this time I sought to try to craft it just slightly. Not because somebody suggested it. But when I first started college many, many years ago, 1993, and I was doing radio, they used to have a segment called Man on the Streets. We would go out there, a little recorder, and we would ask different questions of people. We bring it back to the radio station, and we put it on live. Now, of course, I'm not in radio anymore, but I put out some surveys. I ask people, I'm like, I need for you to share with me your righteous mind. As saints, I expected a little bit higher things are where our priorities are and our thoughts were. Of course, we're still human. And I didn't have a set number of surveys that I wanted to put out, but in the end, I wound up with 29. And I asked people to be succinct and to give me three things that they think divide people. And I didn't want to give them anything else. It's like Scripture. When someone asks me about Scripture, I'll show it to them. And I don't want to give them my opinion. I want to stay out of it. I want to see what does the Scripture say to that person. How are they understanding it? And only if pressed will I give what I think. The same way with people. I didn't want to seed them with any possible preconceived notion of what I might be searching for because I did not have any preconceived ideas. I wanted to see what a righteous people think. Three things. And I wanted to, it's a controlled environment. I did not go outside. I thought about going to downtown Jefferson City and also getting that perspective and so I could present it. But I decided to just stay here. But I did, since we are such a conglomerate here, we have people from Nigeria, we have people from the islands, we have the aged. I even took a few teenagers, but I didn't go past into the preteens because the way that the thoughts of a preteen can be shaped, they might have to actually be guided. And even the teenagers kind of struggled a little bit, but they still were able to deliver. And I was happy with that. And I'll share the results of that a little bit later. But it does show that some things, they don't really per se change. We just continue to tumble down the things. But there were commonalities. And even one that I thought that right now, as we look at the landscape, and trust me, as a veteran, and even as a minority, I try to see things from an even keel because I grew up in a mixed neighborhood. I was never around just one set. Matter of fact, I'm not comfortable really around being around one set of people because that's not my upbringing. Nor was I ever taught by my mother to see color. I was as best as possible. You see people as people, and that's what Scripture teaches us. When we look at examples of how Moses' brother and sister, when they came down on him for marrying someone who was from Cush, from Ethiopia, as we would call it nowadays, Moses was so humble he didn't even defend himself, but Yahweh stepped in. Yahweh took up his cause. And that's a mighty thing. He didn't pray to Yahweh to deliver me. I mean, not at least by the words that were scriptures. Maybe there's some outside canon things that we have, but Yahweh stepped in. And he showed Yahweh he's not particular for any person. He's no respecter of people. We are all born from the same parent as that. And these are part of the scriptures that I'm going to bring up. But as we go forward, you know, the United States is our grandparents, and I think of myself. The younger set may have some of that if they've actually talked with their grandparents, but the United States is, we know it, I'm 42 years old, so I've had great grandparents and grandparents, but my grandparents, it's fast fading away, the jobs that they worked, that type of environment where people could go to work without seeking out higher education, where they could earn a living, by the sweat of their brow and the strength of their back. And they just go and they punch the clock, and you know, they can make a decent living and they could feed a family, and it did not take both parents out of the house in order to do it. They did not have to worry about child care because there was someone there in the home to care for the child. The ability to feed your family, though at times when we had things such as the Great Depression or whatever and whatnot, but when things were going well, you could feed your family easy. I don't think malnutrition was such a thing. Even in the United States, such a blessed country, and I'm speaking of the United States because this is where I'm from. I cannot speak of what other media sources around the world, and I have a friend who works with us from Germany, and sometimes I talk to him about, well, Germany, and he says, well, yeah, but that's your mainstream media reporting over there. So what can I say about another country? I can't say anything. But I can say of my experience and walk here, and albeit things are still controlled, there is propaganda here. And so we have to look at things in a little bit of a skewed light. But the ability to be able to feed your family because of those different things and have somebody in the household versus paying for childcare, it's more difficult. Even the fact that when we say that we want the best for our children, but everybody wants cheap childcare. Brother Michael has said that many times that, you know, one of the problems is we don't want to pay the true worth of things. Well, the best, if we want the best for our children, best cost money. And if we want cheap childcare, but we want the best, well, those two things just don't align exactly correctly. I know there was a business in Jefferson City. It's one of the Montessori, and it was bilingual. And I was like, oh, that's a great environment. It's good for the, you know, something different for the area. Well, they didn't last too long. I'm sure that it cost a little bit of coin. But unfortunately, they didn't last too long, and that building is, unfortunately, it's empty. And it's been empty for almost a year. But as a memorial to these bygone times, these industrial places of humanity, we have rusted out old buildings that speak to us of yesteryear. What were these things? I mean, they weren't things of magnificence like when the apostles came to Yahshua and like, look at these magnificent buildings. And Yahshua's perspective was these are things that are made by man. And just like man, they'll pass away. The time for those places, sadly, has come and gone. And it has given place to where we have to, they encourage us, get your degree, get your diploma, go to college. Now, everybody's got a college degree. Well, literally everybody. And so the only way that you can stand out is, well, you've got to indebt yourself, or you really have to be that smart where you can get paid for. You have to indebt yourself to get a higher education. You have to pigeonhole yourself. You have to be more of an expert. But that costs money. And then you come out with a degree, and it's the age-old thing. You don't have the experience. Well, if you give me the job, give me a chance, I can get the experience. See, there's always that trade-off. And that's something, I mean, I've run into. I've heard that before. Either that or you're overqualified. But the factories have given way, of course, to the scholarly halls of education and a promise of a better tomorrow. We've had the promise of we're going to defeat world hunger. We've had the many promises that I've heard since I was a child have not come true. And you can really blame it on sin because we can grow things faster. We can grow things bigger. We can grow things better. Better irrigation. We can bring the water to these fields that are at distances. But why haven't we been able to feed everyone? Isn't it possible since we have more yield? But these things haven't happened. Is it because of maybe greed? Now, I think the capitalist system is the greatest system that we can have. Everybody has a fair chance, or they're supposed to. But then greed and greasing the hand, one hand greases another. I think that's the problem. Capitalism does not have, there's no such thing as enough. With a corporation, and I was talking with Brother Michael last night, you know, corporate law, and I don't totally understand corporate law, but it takes the responsibility from an individual and it puts it on an entity that is this business that is not alive, and you're able to shove it off. There's no responsibility. And I think that's a big issue. I think where there is responsibility, people have caution. But as we've seen throughout, from the beginning, since laws were started to be enacted, there's always somebody who thinks that they're smarter, they're slicker, they're not going to be caught. You're not going to catch me. I'm smarter than these guys. Eventually, in this life or the next, you're going to get caught up. You can get away with 20 years. I mean, look at things with the Auschwitz and Holocaust and different things. They're still catching people now that have somehow slipped through the system, or slipped through systems, or have been allowed to slip through the systems because of things that they knew that could help another nation, possibly. But I'm not going to go on conspiracy theories. The sirens call of flexing your mental muscle in gleaming glass offices that once had higher education is beckoned. Better education, better income, right? That's what is supposed to happen. I have 2 degrees. I work 3 jobs. Nobody wants to work 3 jobs. I am up at 10 or 5, and I'm done typically at 10. 2 degrees, that's not supposed to happen. I'm supposed to have this promise of something, but things changed along the way. The landscape really did change. It really did change. And it makes me weep for many people who are coming into things today, even things like engineers and architects. There are a lot of engineers and architects out of jobs. The system has cheated us because of cheap labor. The Bible talks about paying a fair wage and different things. We bring people in from overseas. People are told, train them, train your replacement, you'll get a nice severance package. And they get slapped with a gag order. You can't talk about this. And there are some people who've broken ranks and they said, no, this is wrong. And they've spoken out. I'm sure that there was some penalty for violating this contract that they signed. I mean, we, in essence, when we go into the waters of baptism, we sign a contract, but it's not a contract that's written by hands. And it's one that's everlasting. Should we bind ourselves with a fair contract or an unfair contract? Because we're worried about feeding our families. We've got to have something. And this is why sins plague us. The system is rigged, not just with men and women in high-powered places, but the influences. Scripture tells us that we have a battle with principalities, things that are in the air that we cannot see. Sometimes we feel them. Sometimes they have even manifested with some people. People talk about things. But it's hard to believe because in this day and age, such things are not commonplace. But the spiritual realm is real and it is beset against us. There are things and mechanisms that are here to bring us down, to bring us to ruin. And the closer that we are with Yahweh, with Yahshua, the better things are, but there we are told that we're going to go through times and we're going to go through tribulations. But Yahweh is there with us. We should not fear these things. It's quite clear from the last, the recession, that the lower we are to the ground, the more we keep things simple, the fall is less. It hurts less. We recover a lot easier. But there are plenty of stories where somebody was making a six-figure income and they lost their job. And how great is the fall for the mighty? And the truth is, many of those people never recovered a six-figure income. Many people had to deal. There are some people who had to deal with driving. You know, their only form of transportation was a nice car, real nice car. Mercedes-Benz, one even made the rounds on social media. And this woman and her child, she had to take that Mercedes-Benz and go down to the local welfare office. Now, you just picture that. Somebody drives up needing a handout who's driving a Benz. Do you know the first thoughts that come to people's mind? What do you need? You got this nice car. Why don't you go sell it or something? If you're really hurting that bad, but this only form of reliable transportation, it's not her fault. Do you give up your reliable form of transportation that takes your kids to and fro and take a beater? And then possibly if it breaks down, then what do you have? It's not that woman's fault. It's not that man's fault. Systems, they rise and fall. But even so, as goes the USA, there are places that are worse. With all the issues that we have here, I would never want to be born any other place. I'm glad that, that Yahweh, I say this many times, Yahweh may be a man. I think a man's life is simpler. But B, I'm glad that Yahweh planted me here in this nation, even with all the mechanisms and different things that we have. There are other places. I've been to other places because of the Navy. I've seen some serious ghettos where there is plenty of, in these oil countries, plenty of gleaming high rises that are empty. They're built because they got nothing else to do with their money, I guess. And then you see metal shacks not too many miles from there. The sins are set up against us. So why the strife and struggle? Why the divisions? Why do we have wars? We're starting to see them about Scripture. Scripture talks about why do we have different wars and whatnot. And the easy enough short answer is sin. I could just easily just say, well, sin's a problem, brethren, and just walk off. We try to solve sin. Obviously, we can't walk a sinless life because only there's been one man to do that, and that is our Savior. That is Yahshua, the anointed, Yahweh's anointed. But the easiest way to get around it is to, again, be humble, be repentant, fly low. Because everyone, even when we talk to someone, even when I have some issues at work, sometimes when I want to talk to my supervisor about some of the things that I see, and sometimes they don't want to hear me, or they rebound it with some other thing, and I ask them, like, do you want me to follow the chain of command and talk with you first, or do you want me to jump it? Like, all I really want you to consider is, am I right or wrong? Don't think that so much that I'm complaining, because I try not to raise a complaint too often, but is what I'm saying right or wrong? I mean, and I've been there 5 years. They know who I am. I'm not trying to get over. I do enjoy making an honest buck for the work that I do. But during the feast, in anticipation of this small sermon, again, I did take that survey because I wanted to see a righteous people's mind. I consider everybody in here who has been exposed to Yahweh's word and who has sought to live it out, including the teenagers. And I know that their thought patterns are not as developed as ours, but I consider all the brethren here having righteous minds, that there should not ideally be any prejudgment. That, oh no, here we go, another, he's a minority, and he's going to take up the cause of them. I take up the cause of anybody, and I think it's Scripture. Anybody that's underserved, doesn't matter their skin hue, we are the human race, have a parent set of Adam and Eve. So I don't care if somebody looks the same as me or if they're different. If I see that they are not being treated correctly, I care. And I think that's the cause of anything. I think if society, and that's why I talk about if we even had a good Christian revival, not a Hebrew roots revival, not a sacred roots revival, if we could just maybe just stem the tide of that hammer of judgment that we know is going to fall, I would take some solace in that. I would take some solace in that. But again, this message is formed by that. Now, the assembly formerly had a billboard out on the highway, and it ran something to the order, and I can't remember it, and I tried to go look at our website, but we don't sell things on Sabbath, so I couldn't even see the bumper sticker. But it said something to the order of America's problem was sin, and its answer was Yahweh. I'm pretty close there, Steve, somewhere. Something like that. But that's the world's problem, and that is America's problem. It was written, we've seen that, they said, what made America great? What makes America great? Is it democracy? No, that wasn't it. That the man who came from Europe, was it our monetary system being, and I'm stumbling for the word right now, capitalism? No, it wasn't capitalism. But he said it was our churches. People were seeking to do right. To a degree, trying to follow the Bible. They were more about community. Nowadays, we're more about empire building. Get out there and make our own little spot. But by empire building, we're asking to pit ourselves against our neighbor. in essence. Because in a community, it's not so much about. You're more interwoven. During the Feast of Tabernacles, we're a community. We're together and we're working together to do things and make things happen. But when it comes to the empire building of get out there and make your mark, where in order to make your mark, a lot of times you have to make a mark on somebody else and have to edge someone out. I mean, that's how you have millionaires and billionaires. That's how we have the lottery. People are hoping for a better way. The greed, I mean, is enough enough. I did have a friend once who wanted to get in the music business, and I know some of the evils of the music business. And I asked him, how much is enough? And he said, what? I did that 3 times before it dawned on me. There's no such thing as enough. In his eyes, there was no such thing as enough. He wants it all in the world and everything that's in it. Some people think that they deserve. But, I mean, what do we really deserve? Scripture talks about us being satisfied with food, water, and, you know, it doesn't even mention shelter. I don't think it mentions shelter at all. But basic needs. I mean, truly, life is easier, but there's nothing wrong with being able to enjoy some more. I mean, the more you do earn, there's nothing wrong with that. But when do we start to look around us? When do we help to stop or to start to stem some of the tide, at least, that's around us? I realize that, I mean, Christianity in and of itself is dying. There was a survey over in England where they said, I think within the next 20 years, that they reckon that Christianity may just be dead over there in England. But even here, the youth are seeing a lot of hypocrisy. And they're fleeing the churches just as well. The answers are not there. Because the churches have fled the answers. And they're making up, and as they've done for a long time, making up a lot of dogma, like making a lot of doctrine. Halloween is coming, and what do you see in some places? Trunk or treat. Trunk or treat. Because that's their answer to try to get the youth to come into the churches. I mean, after all, if you've got nothing but 40-something-year-olds, I mean, if you are not, if there's no replenishment, there's death waiting. But there's no institution of man that has ever really survived. Every kingdom that has ever risen has fallen. All the great ones. And I think this kingdom, this nation of ours, actually has gone past that, the normal age of a nation. But we are watching the divisions eat us up from the inside. There's a military commander, as I try to remember some of the stories that I hear, who talks about, you know, he has 5 columns, basically. If we don't get them from the east, we're going to get them from the west. And if we don't get them from the west, we'll get them from the north. If we don't get them from the north, we get them from the south. And if that doesn't work, we'll get them from the 5th column. Where's the 5th column? Inside. There's an inside agent. And we as the people inside this nation, we have always enjoyed the oceans. No one has ever really done anything to us because we've had those oceans. Now, we've been able to, because of technological advances, we've been able to go across the oceans and fight and win and come back home with the safety around us. But as time has gone on, the world's kind of catching up to us. We've become decadent in a lot of ways. We have a superiority complex in so many ways. We are the greatest, but even the great fall. And as we look at, you know, in just our own country, there are things that we, and I want to set it straight. I'm not talking about reparations or anything like that, because you know what? You can give people money and it does not change a person's heart. We have a heart condition. We don't care. We care about ourselves and our little circles and our little cliques, and it about ends there. And that's one thing that I've always tried to do. I don't walk in cliques. I don't do it. But it's tearing us apart from the inside. We've heard speeches from like Abraham Lincoln and different things of basically divided, you know, together we stand, divided we fall. A house that's divided against itself cannot stand forever. It's going to collapse, and we are watching that. And it's because of sin. We can't walk it perfectly again, but if we were following more along with Scripture, it's not to say we would not fall. I mean, but I think we would be in a lot better place. But these things plague us, and we haven't figured out the answers. It's the same institutions that have been around since almost the dawn of time, of jealousies and greed and all sorts of things. And how come we don't learn? Where's the lesson? If life is the teacher, why aren't we learning? And obviously, we all know the answer. We've got to have that rod of iron that comes to strike the nations, to show them the proper way. It's a sad thing. You're either going to get in line or you're going to get rolled over. But that's a problem. Greed, politics, religious zealots, and madmen continue to have dominion. They're the ones that are running. I've often wondered, can a righteous man, unless Yahweh has actually said you are going to be like David? David was a little guy. No one thought he was anything. You're too little to fight. Go back home. You're in the way. But Yahweh deemed that he was going to rule. But in his day and age, does Yahweh deem that if there is a righteous man in the land, could he actually beat the system? Could he become president of the United States? I've often wondered, is that even possible? Because it seems that you got to have some dirt on you. You got to have some skeletons so somebody can try to control you in order to get up there. I can't think of it. I mean, there's been some decent people up there, but even some of those that got silenced, I don't know if they couldn't be controlled. And it seems like if they couldn't be controlled, there are ways to deal with those people. That's what it has seemed in my 42 years. But as collective humanity continues to march forward in time from Eden and ever closer to judgment, you think that we would get better, and we haven't. Though things, you know, I mean, I look at when I was a kid, and I wasn't always in the faith, but I could go blocks and trick-or-treat for safety. But then there's something that started to happen. The little stickers that you would lick and stick on there, people started lacing those with LSD. People started sliding razor blades into apples. And I'm not joking. My grandmother would not allow us to eat any fruit that somebody would give us. I mean, and that was a healthy thing. But that was off the menu because just people are... Is crazy even a such thing anymore? Because we don't call anybody crazy anymore. But now we just, you know, somebody is like that. And we used to put people in institutions and dope them up to the gills. But now we don't have those anymore, and they are just out in society. But righteousness is something that I think would stem the tide, and it would help as far as the problems that we face. Now, I'm going to show you the results of this survey, because I know some people wonder, why are you doing this? And I told them I is going to contribute to the message. But I used to think that money was maybe the original thing that divided us. But then as we think back to Cain and Abel, we think back to, I won't go to Adam and Eve because I wouldn't call that a system of religion. But Cain and Abel, they were making an offering. Why were they making that offering? It doesn't exactly say. We kind of time it to different things because why are you making an offering to Yahweh? One brought one thing. One brought the other. One was acceptable to Yahweh and the other one wasn't. And what happened? There was anger. Yahweh tried to soothe one of them. He tried to soothe Cain. Why are you so angry? Basically repent. But he told him sin was waiting at the door for him. And we see still this now. We have systems of division, but that one resulted in death. We see death now as we look over to the Middle East and people are getting beheaded. If you don't convert, I mean, we had our message about some things about Islam. We see these things. And it's an age-old war. We haven't gotten over it yet. In ways, there are some things that I'm happy that actually haven't... I'm happy we haven't found the Noah's Ark. Because it might lead to some boasting. Our religion is right, see? It's Noah's Ark. Yours is false. But there should be no boasting. The only boasting is to Yahweh, the grandeur that he is, that Yahweh, see, Yahweh is right. Where do we find Yahweh? How do we seek after Yahweh? You should come to Yahweh. Don't come to us because we don't have all the answers, but Yahweh has the answers. Seek Yahweh. But I don't think that would happen if we would find such things like that. If the Ark of the Covenant, all of a sudden, it popped up, there would be jealousies, I believe. And I believe there may be a time where it might, and I think it's going to stir up things. It will. But what is religion? Religion is not what Yahweh made. Yahweh made a faith. Religion, a lot of times, as we see, it's the state of a religion. Well, none A. We'll get rid of A. The service and worship of G-O-D. I pulled this off the internet. Or the supernatural. But that's faith. That's a service to him. Religion is something that man has done. And I think that 2A is more than anything the best thing. We have so many definitions there. They multiply. But a personal set, and that's not it, but an institutionalized system. An institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. We're given these things as babes. I started out as apostolic, and I couldn't even tell you really what apostolic is now because I was a kid. I was just following along with what mommy and daddy did. I never understood it, and I can't say it was like the scriptures where they say, sit down with your son or daughter and teach them at the rising and as they're going to sleep. Teach them. Tell them why. And it says, Dad, why do I do this? Well, it's because of Yahweh delivered, and Yahweh has said, and Yahweh has did. But I was never given that in the apostolic faith. Matter of fact, I got immersed at 8 years old, and I only did it because everybody else was doing it. It was the thing to do. But now we have counseling. That's good. The other one was money. Money was number two. There's nothing wrong with money. You have to have something in order to buy, right? We don't barter. Well, so there is still a barter system out there. What, for the love of money is the root of all evil. That scripture right there, and actually did not have it in there. Well, while like some coveted after, they erred in faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Religion is saying the thing is that Yahweh didn't create religion; He created faith. And unfortunately, I didn't put those the actual where they came from. Greed. Greed, big problem, because there's not enough. There's no check on greed. Proverbs 11:4 tells us, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. We are not even on a gold standard anymore. The dollar used to be there with a gold standard. We had a guarantee. It was worth something. But guess what? You can't eat gold even if you had gold. If everything just comes crashing down and you got some gold to store it up in the back, what are you going to do with it if the water and the meat and everything is poisoned? Ecclesiastes 5:10, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. These things in the grand scheme of things are nothing. Envy and covetousness. Now, there are two that tied for number four. Man, I wish what he has. Man, I'd love that Benz that he's got. I'd like that Escalade, different things. But James 3:16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice because you are willing to break the law a lot of times to get at some things. You are willing to even pay a lawyer to get out of contracts that you agreed to come into, and because things aren't going your way, possibly, like there's a movie called The Founder. Ray Kroc, founder of McDonald's, he signed a contract because he was tired of being this broke, rundown salesman in his 50s. And he saw a good thing in these brothers McDonald out in California who were satisfied with flying low. And they just had a couple restaurants. But he had ambition. Franchise, franchise, franchise. He wanted them to expand aggressively. They didn't really want to do it. They went along with this guy. They thought that maybe, okay, we keep the rein on him. We give him a set of rules. Everything will be right. Honestly. And it's a good movie to watch, by the way. It's called The Founder. It's a sad story. Leave a bitter taste in your mouth. Honorable mention. Or should I say unhonorable mention. None of you, brethren, righteous-minded. And I appreciate that. The righteous mind of you guys. Nobody mentioned race in that top three, which means that you don't see color. You see humanity. That's good. That's scripture. That means you see that Yahweh made us all from the same parent set. Imagine if the world saw that. It wouldn't cut off all crime and it wouldn't cut off everything, but you'd see a drop in a lot of animosity and some of the atrocities that have happened where someone thought that they were better. Bible mentions race, not in terms of color or anything like that. A lot of times, the first thing that comes to mind is with Paul. And he tells us about being an athlete. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? That's in a worldly sense. Run in such a way that you may win. And he's talking about being found worthy, walking in such a worthy way, in such a way that when Yahshua returns, there's not just one trophy, one crown to be given out. He has a prize that is so great that if you are found worthy, almost anyone can attain it. Many can win this. And when I say many, it says many are called, few are chosen. But this is attainable. First place is attainable by more than one. And that is a guarantee. That is a guarantee that you can find in Scripture. Because it does mention few. Now, what's a few in the grand scheme of humanity? I don't know. Because we've got a lot of people on this planet. And as you see from here, we got people from Nigeria. We've had people from the islands. We've got people from Canada. We're pulling people from all over the place. And we're not the only people that are seeking Yahweh. So a few? That's a lot. That's a lot. Well, brother, it's been a great feast. Today is a Sabbath. It's wonderful. We had double bookends. We started with a high day and a Sabbath, and we ended with a high day and a Sabbath. So I say, amen, hallelujah, thank you for the opportunity to speak and serve along with you, and it's been excellent being here tabernacling with you.